Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
Alistair, this story today, it's a spooky one.
We're moving into Halloween month.
It's Halloween Eve.
Yeah.
That's probably about right. Today's story is the Stowe Poltergeist, or the Stowe on the Wold Poltergeist, if you want to be more formal.
The Stowe on the Wold.
The Stowe on the Wold Poltergeist. Alistair, are you ready?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought I was, but then you asked me and now I'm afraid.
This story I'm about to tell is, it's a real shocker. It's actually quite a scary one.
Oh, right. Okay. Are you spoiling the movie for me, Sixth Sense style?
No. I'm just saying, come see The Sixth Sense and pay attention.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, I'm actually a little apprehensive about telling this story. I'll tell you why later.
All right.
This story takes place in Stowe-on-the-Wold.
Chilling.
You ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. Is the Wold a river?
The Wold's a hill.
Oh, is the town on a hill then?
Yes, it is on a hill. Famously quite cold in Stowe-in-the-Wold, and there are rhymes about it. The wind blows cold in Stowe-on-the-Wold, and the cooks have nothing to cook with.
It sounds awful there.
Yeah. It's pretty boring. I did a bit of research into it just in general. I thought I'd give it a bit of local flavour. But there's nothing, apart from that it used to be called St. Edward Stowe, probably after Edward the Martyr, who was King of England for 3 years between 975.
Oh yeah, who was famously the king in the mid-70s.
For 3 years.
Yeah, first King of England to wear flares.
To have sideboards.
Oh, wait.
Sideburns.
Yeah, I just want to check. Did you make a mistake there, or is that a type of facial hair I don't know about?
Maybe it's literally just at my school, but it's like a nickname for sideburns.
Isn't a sideboard something that your mum has like a decorative plate on?
Yeah, it's where you keep your plates, your fancy plates. They called them sideboards. Maybe it was just the tough kid said it by accident once, and everyone didn't dare correct him.
I'm picturing the tough kid as a 10-year-old with massive sideburns.
So big you keep plates in them.
a commemorative plate with a picture of King Edward in his flares on it.
Yes.
Commemorating the day he got flares.
And he was 16 when he died, this poor king.
Oh, bad luck.
He was murdered at Corfe Castle in Dorset.
Of course I would have bloody loved the place.
Yes.
Did we do that right?
Yeah, you did, actually. I'm going to leave the pause in.
I say extend the pause.
It was apparently by his stepmother, and he was succeeded by Ethelred the Unready.
Oh, wow. I mean, if Ethelred the Unready is getting the jump on you, that's a bad sign.
Exactly.
For your tenure, come on.
Well, he was the brother of Ethelred, and then a cult rose up around Edward, and they found his body was incorruptible. You know, the usual saint stuff.
Classic saint business.
And he was in Satan's, what's that? Oh, canonized?
Oh, canonized, not in Satan'd.
No.
That's the opposite.
Very much. By the Bishop of Sherborne.
Oh, friend of the show, Sherborne.
Yes. And apparently some people think that this cult of Edward rose up because people didn't like Ethelred. They preferred his sister Edith. I mean, all I get from this is that the parents had a vibe, naming wise. And that was the old name of Stowe on the Wold, St. Edward Stowe. So that's why I said all that. That's as interesting as Stowe gets, apart from this story. The best recounting of this story I can find is in Ghosts Over Britain by Peter Moss.
That is a bizarre name for a book. Ghosts Over Britain.
Over Britain.
14 ghosts were seen coming in from a southwesterly direction.
From 1977, this was, by Peter Moss. And there was a couple of other versions of the story in Folklore and Mysteries of the Cotswolds and Mysterious Gloucestershire, both by Mark Turner. And this happened between 1963 and 1965 on Chapel Lane, which was the house, the semi-detached house.
Oh, someone's doing all right.
Of the Petheridge family. Stanley Petheridge is the name of the dad. David Petheridge is the 14-year-old son, and the lady of the house is simply known as Mrs. Petheridge throughout.
Mrs. Petheridge, no need for a first name for you, Mrs. Petheridge.
Not in 1977.
Seventh? I thought it was the 60s.
Ghosts Over Britain.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Was published in 1977.
Of course.
On the 14th of April, 1963, the Petheridges woke up to find that the trapdoor leading to the roof space.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No way, Shake Shaft.
It's just...
Don't try and sneak a trapdoor in.
The hatch go into the roof, in the ceiling, whatever you call that.
Okay.
It's a little trapdoor.
Okay, yeah. The attic door.
Yes, the hatch.
Okay, carry on.
It was diagonally open across the opening.
Oh.
The aperture.
Askew, even.
Yeah, yes. Askance.
Akimbo? Would you say akimbo?
No, I don't think so.
No.
So it was up there. And it was open to the attic, basically. So someone went and got a stepladder, presumably Mr. Petheridge, Stanley, went and got a stepladder, went up there, put it back on.
Go and get a stepladder, Mrs. Fine. Petheridge, he probably said. He probably delegated.
Was he also from the Pirate Game sketch?
It's the only accent I'm doing now.
At least we know her first name now. Imagine it.
Imagine it. Bring my stepladder. The trapdoors are scants.
So they put it back, all fine, until the next morning. That blooming... trapdoors open again.
Whoa.
So they went and got, presumably, went and got the stepladder again, because I'm guessing the Petheridges are a neat household, which is why this poltergeist made such an impression on them, I guess, because this is the story of the Stowe poltergeist.
Sorry, it might have sounded like I was pausing for drama there, but it was a sneeze.
You're allergic to poltergeist.
You should have warned me.
The poltergeist.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take an antihistamine. You're going to be talking about poltergeisters.
Poltergeist. Is that the chap from, the tour guys, reviewer?
Oh, tour guys.
Didn't like the tour guys. Do you think they're poltergeist? It's a poltergeist. What's a poltergeist doing?
It's a Scorsese film. Hey, Spooky Joe, you were supposed to smash a plate. Come on. That's my impression of a poltergeist.
They called him Spooky two times because he always moved the trapdoor two times.
I'm realizing my lack of knowledge of A, gangsters, and B, poltergeists is limiting the improvisational potential here.
Well, this poltergeist did do it two times because the next morning that trapdoor was askance again. So they got the stepladder, went up, closed the trapdoor. Next day, it's a blooming again. I'm guessing they might have left the stepladder out this time.
I certainly would have if I were Mrs. Petheridge.
Stanley, the man himself, made a booty trap.
He texts the poltergeist late at night just to see what he's up to.
He honey traps the poltergeist.
The classic booty trap.
He left a
booby trap.
That's what I said, you guys. You guys never listen to me. A booby trap, which was a cocoa tin with pebbles in.
That is such a 60s booby trap.
There's no way you'd be able to open that trap door without dislodging the booty trap.
I really sounded like you said booty trap again.
I did say booty trap. I like saying booty trap because then it means people correct me and I get to pretend I'm Data from the Goonies. It's really funny. If you ever watch the Goonies again, Data's little riffs that he does, he just carries on muttering to himself, obviously unscripted.
Really?
He's really good.
That kid is great.
And after they laid that booby trap by accident then, actually. After they laid that trap, the trapdoor didn't move again.
Okay.
But pools of water appeared on the floorboards of the front hall. And they thought nothing of it, cleared it up. It happened a few days in a row again, cleared it up, thought nothing of it. And then they just kept coming back, these pools of water. So they called a plumber, and there were no pipes above that might have been dripping down and causing a leak. And the plumber lifted the floorboards. There was a 12-inch gap, so it can't have been seepage. And the plumber said, weirdly, the plumber said, I think you've got a poltergeist.
The plumber removed his monocle, straightened his cravat, and said, the ladies might want to leave the room for a moment. I believe you have a poltergeist.
Mr. Petheridge, I don't wish to alarm you, but I think you've got a poltergeist.
Mr. Petheridge, are you sitting down?
Yes, you can see I'm sitting down. We're in the same room.
Mr. Petheridge, stop fiddling with the booby trap. I think we're dealing with one or more poltergeists. And from then on, things started to ramp up. Water was trickling down the bedroom walls. At one point,
trickling,
9 bowls and buckets had to be put out to catch the drippage. And after 2 months of this, the first note appeared.
I don't think I've ever heard of a poltergeist writing a note.
This one did. It wrote loads of them. And they were all on scraps of paper torn from calendars, exercise books, magazines, bits of wrapping paper in this weird, described as spidery handwriting. And the first message fell in front of Mrs. Petheridge at the same spot where the first water pool was found. Do you want to know what it said on that note?
I do. So we're talking about a little piece of paper that just fluttered to the ground in front of her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on that piece of paper, it said, in spidery handwriting, "I'll speak to you tonight." Yeah. And so the Petheridges went to bed between 9:30 and 10 p.m. as normal. Evidently, thought nothing of it. And at that time, a voice started muttering, I quote, "as if on a telephone from a long way away," end of quote. Editor's note, e.g. Australia. Back to me telling the story now. I'm not sure. I've gone a bit Tenet there. I'm not sure where I am. Now, this voice continued for several hours, just muttering gibberish. There was swearing and obscenities, which Mr. and Mrs. Petheridge did not like.
No, not in front of Mrs. Petheridge.
They eventually got him to moderate his language and called him George.
Hmm.
And now the notes and muttering continued for 2 years.
2 years?
Intermittently, on and off. Okay. You got scribbles on the walls and the ceilings. The lights and the TV got turned off. The water main got turned off. The main stopcock. The headboard of the boy's bed had gouges in it, apparently. Marbles were thrown down the stairs one time. And also a heavy mirror got moved.
Oh.
I told them in the wrong order. I should have ended with the gouged headboard, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to, a heavy mirror being moved, but...
Yeah. Okay, then.
Should have ended on the marbles, clearly the highlight.
One time, Mrs. Petheridge went into her son's bedroom, where David was sleeping, and saw emerge from under the pillow a baby's hand.
Ah, what?
And before her eyes, it grew to adult size, and then into old man age, like a gnarled, withered old hand, and then it vanished.
Ah, that didn't happen, did it? She was asleep. That was a dream.
Yeah, it's probably a dream.
But still, that's a really scary dream.
A baby's hand turned into an old man hand in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
And amongst the nonsensical burblings and on the notes, the writing on the notes was quite meandering and peculiar, but a few phrases would stick out like, "going over, bed's made, while it's fine, don't show her none of my writing, and my real portrait."
Oh, my real portrait implies the existence of a fake portrait.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
And once the voice used the pet name of Mr. Petheridge, which no one will guess, is Gramp, which is weird.
Gramp?
Yeah, that was his pet name from his wife.
Oh, he's not a grandpa though, is he?
No, the boy's only 14. But she used to call him Gramp. One time when he was changing, he was undressing, the voice said, "What are you staring at me for, Gramp?"
Ooh.
Like he was undressing and looking at the poltergeist at that point, which is unnerving for the poltergeist.
Sounds like the ghost was also undressing at that time.
Or he wasn't, and he just, from the poltergeist point of view, Mr. Stanley was just staring at him, taking his clothes off.
Maintaining full eye contact while taking his clothes off. Maybe ghosts are naked all the time. Poltergeists, they could always be naked. You don't know.
Yeah. But also, I wouldn't use a pet name in that circumstance, if I was annoyed.
You'd make a formal request.
Yeah, I would use their Sunday name. I'd say Mr. Petheridge.
Mm.
"I am a poltergeist. If you're going to stare at me, keep your trousers on, please, sir."
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Mm. So they tried to question this, but there was so much, like they couldn't really get much sense out of it. But they seemed to, at one point, it said that it was the ghost of a builder of the house who died 20 years previously. But they don't really know. And apparently, this made the news. And there were books and pamphlets written about it, and it was in the papers. According to Peter Moss, a very large circulation Sunday paper offered them $5,000 if they would confirm that the son was behind the hauntings.
Look, I didn't want to jump in as a cynic, but I did think that the son was a likely candidate.
Well, they point out on many occasions that when the notes or the voice appeared, David was not in the house at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is kind of like saying, I don't think Bruce Wayne's Batman, because whenever Batman's here, Bruce Wayne's not here. And it was pronounced as genuinely supernatural by a third party who witnessed most of the phenomena. And that was a local vicar. And that local vicar was Canon Harry Cheels.
Canon Harry Cheels?
From the Canon Harry Cheels episode.
Is that Wick Rissington?
Yeah, Wick Rissington. Say it with the Flourish.
Canon Harry Cheels. Load up the cannon, Harry Cheels.
Yeah.
From Wick Rissington.
Yes, Wick Rissington. He's just made a cameo.
Wow.
He said it was definitely a ghost.
Well, he would
and
know.
And he would know.
Guy with eyebrows like that.
Mm-hmm. And now I also found in one of my other books a little, what's the word for a little bit of extra on the end?
Postscript.
Yeah, a little postscript. The family went on holiday to Devon, near Dorset. We don't need to do that.
Oh, okay.
And the poltergeist followed them.
Mm.
And they befriended a local vicar down there who exorcised the ghost and got rid, which I think, just going back to the whole Harry Cheels conspiracy, it seems like it was possible to get rid of this ghost if you'd really tried.
They went on holiday and the ghost went on holiday with them like a sitcom.
Yes, but they tricked it into staying on holiday.
Because the ghost was leaving the series to pursue serious acting roles. I might just stay here in Devon, says the ghost.
Off camera as well, because it was fire. At the first episode of the next series, they couldn't be bothered to pay for the actor to come back in.
Yeah, it's all agent negotiations.
I suppose a note is its sort of MO.
It's like when Picard became a Borg.
Oh, right. Was that for age?
Yeah, Patrick Stewart was asking for more money. And so at the end of the series, Picard becomes a Borg because they didn't know whether they were going to have him back in the next series.
And the first episode of the next series is just, there's a note. Wesley Crusher reads a note saying,
I'm sorry, Wesley's in charge now.
Having a lovely time being a Borg. Think I'll stay at it for a bit. Ensign, you have the bridge.
Yeah, and that would have just been it.
Bye, everyone. I'm Borg. Borg now.
And you never would have heard from Patrick Stewart again.
Wow.
But luckily they decided that he was the good thing about the show and that they should probably pay him more so that he would stay.
And so he'd stop being a Borg. Now, I said I was a bit scared of telling you that story because the other day when we did a little bit of recording and I happened to mention, just conversationally, that I was quite looking forward to telling this story, it was a really scary one. Do you remember what happened at that exact point?
What happened?
I had to run away because a pipe burst in our bathroom and water started flooding through.
Yes.
Water started flooding through, trickling down the walls. We had to put four pots out at one point.
Four pots?
To catch the water.
Oh, is it okay now?
Yeah, it's fine. Plumber's been right. There is a hole in the kitchen ceiling where the plumber got into the pipes.
Have you checked with a vicar about whether there was a supernatural? Sorry, I'll say that again. Have you checked with a plumber about whether that was supernatural?
You know what? I didn't ask, and that's on me for not asking.
Well, really, I think an honest tradesperson would tell you if there was supernatural activity.
They should, shouldn't they?
So anyone can be a plumber these days.
If they're spooky approved. Spoopy approved.
It's day one of plumbing school. The difference between like a blocked pipe and a ghost.
You need to know the difference, really, don't you? You need to know what tools you're going to be bringing out. An adjustable crucifix. So, yeah, that's the old spoopy little tale.
Spooky.
Mm.
Spooky old story that crept out of the pod and into real life.
Maybe like The Ring, spoilers.
Spoilers for The Ring there.
Spoilers for The Ring and my real life.
Everyone who listens to this episode will, within 7 days, have a plumbing emergency or a spillage of some kind.
Someone will, I reckon.
Yeah.
There's a 1 in 100 chance. There's some.
Is that how frequent you think spills are? How many listeners you think we have?
The listeners. But we do have more than that.
I reckon. Do have more.
And actually, you know what? Our listeners are of such high quality, they probably regularly upkeep their pipes and are well protected against poltergeists. I'm literally only going to call them poltergeists now forever.
It's a good name, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Thanks.
While since we've had some proper old ghosts.
It's up there with, you know, the Enfield haunting, the Battersea poltergeist, that one.
What about Jeff the Talking Mongoose? How do you think it ranks alongside Jeff?
I think it has some crossover with Jeff. Mm. It may be that, I don't know how the dates line up, but he may have moonlit in this house saying, well, stop staring at me, Gramps.
Yeah, a sort of cheeky voice / family of liars. It has somewhere, it's got something in common with Jeff.
But the old trapdoor thing at the beginning's got that little bit of like spookiness, like in, it's in Paranormal Activity.
Yes.
That all starts off with their loft door opening mysteriously.
Yeah, before you know it, you've got all footsteps appearing in talcum powder.
Riddled.
My problem with the Paranormal Activity film is, because it's very naturalistic, and the guy's a filmmaker, so that's the reason he's filming all of this stuff, as it starts to go weird. But by about 20 minutes into the film, before anything really scary has happened, he's already got the best footage of supernatural activity that has ever been recorded in history. Like, already you would be internationally famous based on the things you filmed, because nobody has ever filmed anything as good as that. Even, you don't have to wait until a demon eats you.
Even better than when that pirate opened the fire escape.
Is that in the theme park? It's like CCTV footage.
Yeah, of a pirate ghost opening a fire escape.
Of a door being opened. Yeah, it's just a person, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a ghost, that's a person.
It was the back door of Alton Towers dungeon.
And people are always like, no, because there was nobody in the building at that time. It's like, yes, there was. The person on CCTV in this video.
Yeah.
Let's score this poltergeist.
Right then. First of all, naming.
Petheridge.
Petheridge.
I can feel, what I like is you put a little flourish in Petheridge.
Petheridge.
You said it with a flourish. You said it with a flourish. You said it with a flourish.
Was flourish. Say it with a flourish.
Sorry, my whole face is very tired today. I can't get any of the parts to move.
We've got Edward. We've got Ethelred. We've got Edith.
Ethelred the Unready is an epithet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's not a particularly good nickname, but it's full of character, isn't it? Ethelred the Unready.
Yes.
That's great.
And Edward the Martyr.
Edward the Martyr.
And Edith the Sister.
Good-ish names, yeah.
Ghosts Over Britain.
The book Ghosts Over Britain. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Stanley Petheridge. David Petheridge. Chapel Lane. That is it.
Okay, it's a 3.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
Poltergeist. Do we get any points for coining that name?
No, I don't think so, because I think we coined that. I don't want to give the Petheridges credit for Poltergeist. Or it could have been Darren and Claire, or whatever those tourists were called, who think it's tour guy. Really,
I had
that.
Something that I forgot to mention. Can I bring it in now?
Okay, yes, go on.
There's a local, an old folk tale about Stowe that I'd forgotten. Apparently, the road from Burford to Stowe is really cold, and one winter, a group of travellers got waylaid, and they were saved by a little white cat, and they referred to ghosts, the ghosts that were outside their caravans and scaring them all right up. They referred to them as snow foresters.
Ooh, oh,
which is quite a cool name.
Snow foresters. How did the white cat save them?
Oh, it just told them to go to the church and sing on Christmas Eve.
It spoke to them.
Yeah.
In English?
Yeah. Probably local dialect, but yes.
It didn't just leave a message like a ghost would.
Or like a cat. Well, the cats left another message. A pool of water.
A mysterious and unexplained pool of liquid.
Mm.
That's really good,
snow
actually.
Snow foresters.
Wow. I think I might have to. I don't really want to give you a 4, but I think I have to.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Out of respect for that.
Yes. Good. Great. I'm going to let you know now. I'm feeling pretty confident about this one.
Okay, yeah.
Supernatural.
Well, you're telling me it couldn't have been little Davy Petheridge?
He wasn't even there.
He wasn't even present.
Loads of notes. The notes still exist. They didn't even turn to dust, mate.
And this has been verified by two separate vicars.
Multi-vicar. Yeah.
To be honest, it's the presence of an actual physical note that makes me sceptical.
Oh, have I turned you then?
Well,
I've turned you to dust, in a way.
Nah, yeah, if those notes had sort of burned up as soon as they were touched by a human hand, the ink briefly glowing before it winks out of existence, clearly supernatural. What I mean is that's real paper. That's got to have come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What, is a poltergeist popping into Ryman's, getting some fool's cap?
No, I said it was just ripped off things, off calendars, off wrapping paper, out of exercise books, which is the least confusing one of the lot. That's where you get most paper from. Oh, exercise. I don't know.
Okay.
Do Americans know what exercise books are? They're just notepads. They're not like a little booklet that everyone's issued with telling us how to do press-ups.
Yeah. It's what you write in school.
Yeah.
Frankly, on TV, I don't think I've ever seen them ever writing anything. All I've seen them doing is doing multiple choice tests and then taking books, like a massive pile of books in and out of lockers.
Yeah, carrying books, because evidently in America, the bags aren't big enough.
No. Nope.
And people in the film industry writing on yellow notepads.
Yes.
You must have seen this.
Supernatural, it is a 5.
Yeah.
I'd love to knock it down because I'd like to see the notes.
Even if you were going to knock that down, what about the burbling, weird, gibbering voice? As if on a telephone from a long way away.
Like Australia.
E.g. Australia.
Yeah, all right, yeah, it's 5. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
a baby's hand that grew into an old man's hand.
Okay, that one is really scary, but also definitely a dream.
Definitely a dream, but very scary dream,
really,
right?
Really scary dream. Terrifying dream.
Okay, then. Next category, moistness.
Mm.
I'm going to need a moistness rating from you.
Yep. That's a lot of pools of water, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How many little bowls do they have to put out?
Nine? At one point.
Nine? That's a number of power, isn't it? Nine?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the plumber, who was also an expert in the supernatural,
yes.
He said that it wasn't coming out of pipes.
Called it early doors. The mysterious pools of water in themselves, the trickling down the walls.
Yep.
So wet.
So I'm going to go for a four, because some elements of the story were dry.
Yeah, the paper. The paper was dry. We know that.
The notes were dry.
Big mirror was dry. Just moved.
Very dry.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And final category?
Final category. Now, I was kind of relying on scoring a bit higher on moistness for this one, because then this would have been very easy to go into this category. Bunch of fives.
Okay. So you were you banking on me having given you five for everything so far?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I would have thought that I should have got a five for moistness, to be honest.
Okay.
I definitely got a five for supernatural.
You did.
There was $5,000 offered by the Sunday newspaper.
Okay, yeah, very good.
And
five fingers on the old hand.
Five fingers on the baby's hand. Five fingers on the grown man's hand and five fingers on the old man hand.
Ah, they're the same hand, James. You can't count the same hand three times.
But is it the same hand? Can you step in the same river twice?
Yes, I've done it.
What about five times?
yeah, you could easily.
It's really... You've ruined your socks.
At that point, you will be regretting not wearing wellies. But yes, yes, you can step in the same river twice. That is how rivers work.
Not like, oh, there goes the ooze. Oh.
Nobody has ever defined river as the water that is currently in a river.
That be done that? You've got to move your head really quick. You know, when you see a weir and you move your head really quickly and you can follow like one bit of water's
travel
down.
Yeah, the same bit of river. Yeah. Yes, you can step in the same river twice.
Okay.
I've forgotten the philosopher's name. Heraclitus? I'm just making up old-sounding names now.
Heraclitus.
It's like that, Heraclitus. You don't understand rivers.
He's or men, because he says it's not the same river, it's not the same man. What he's done there is he's got confused about two different rivers.
He's the last person you'd want to call in a murder trial, is he? And now the witness, Heraclitus. Did you see the accused on the night of the murder? Nope. Drowning someone in the river? Nope.
What, do you see him in front of you now? No. What river?
That river's in the sea now.
God.
Blooming Heraclitus. Yeah. This is why everyone hates philosophers, Heraclitus.
In Heraclitus' defense, someone else said that.
Oh, are you saying that it wasn't Heraclitus that said that?
It wasn't Heraclitus that said it. It was a different man.
Ah, very good.
Mm. He'd love that joke. You know what? He'd blooming love that joke. If I had a time machine and a basic command of ancient Greek, that's what I'd do with it.
You go and tell Heraclitus that joke.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, bunch of fives. I suppose we've got to give you five.
How could you? I really gamed the system with that one, and I'm not sorry.
Mm, you really did.
Mm-hmm.
But I did also enjoy the philosophical diversion.
Well, that concludes today's reading.
Thank you very much, James. Thank you.
No problems. So Snow on the World is chilling in two senses of the word now.
Yeah. They were quite laid back, the family. They were quite chilled about what was going on.
Like, we will go to bed at the normal time.
Yeah, I would have had night vision goggles. Wait, it was the 60s.
X-ray specs.
Whatever the 60s equivalent of night vision goggles. Lights.
Yeah.
Just putting a light on was the 60s version of
night vision
goggles.
Yeah.
Listener, if you enjoy the mindless gibbering of a ghost / teenager.
You are our kind of person.
Get onto patreon.com/lawmenpod.
And join us.
Join us.
Join us.
There's so many of those quotes going around from ancient philosophers, and like every second one you see is just nonsense. It's always like believe in yourself because nobody else will. Plato. It's like, Plato didn't say that. Plato's job thing wasn't writing general advice. Stop sharing memes.
I saw one the other day. It said, put a little plastic tub from the takeaway next to your ice cube tray. When your ice is done, pop it in that and refill it. You got more ice. Shake shaft.
Classic Aristotle, no thank
you. Also, just fun fact, the next story in Ghosts Over Britain, literally the next page is called, the story's called The Naked Embrace.
Oh.
Seedy, quite a seamy story of a ghost. But that's a story for another day and another man, if you ask Heraclitus. God, I hope we're pronouncing that right.
It won't be like Heraclitus.
Heraclitus.
Heraclitus. If you're Greek, let us know how Heraclitus is spelt. And please confirm that it is pronounced Heraclitus.
If you're ancient Greek and you have access to a time machine, can I borrow it?